all of the world should come together to recognize the values that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instilled in us and he has taught us.
This is my Islam, my friend Rasulullah. Just the fact that Allah is in love with him is enough to show how great he is.
But if we are to solve the problems in Islam today between the major sects in Islam, what is needed is this element of sincerity, of being genuine, of humility, of really wanting to reach out to each other with compassion, with empathy.
And merciful to one another. When the Quran tells us that innamal mu'minuna ikhwa, believers, those who accept Allah, those who accept the Day of Judgment, those who accept the books, they're brothers.
But I want to make it clear that I don't mean to suggest there are two versions of Islam, Shia and Sunni Islam, nor do I intend to create that division. What I mean to say is that those who call themselves Sunni Muslims, they follow Islam, but they take their teachings through one set of sources. And those who call themselves Shia Muslims, we are referring to those Muslims who take their understanding of Islam from another source.
Allah doesn't say that, oh, they are like brothers, or that they are friends who are kind of like brothers. Allah says very clearly, they are brothers. When Allah uses the word brothers, He means it. It is incredibly, like, what other term could you use to describe somebody who's so close to somebody else? That's the way it's supposed to be.
And now we look at them with the eyes of judgment and the eyes of hate and the eyes of, look at these guys, they're a bunch of losers. Look at this hadith by our Holy Prophet. The Abd of Allah, who not the kuffar, not the munafiqeen, not those who are the enemies of Allah, the slaves of Allah, he says, their feet on the Day of Judgment will not shake until they're asked four questions. How'd you spend your life in this world? Number two, what did we do in our youth? Number three, your wealth. How did you acquire it? And then number four, what did you do with our love? What did you do with our love? Were you a source of pride for us or a source of embarrassment for us?
پیامبر علم، پیامبر عقل، پیامبر اخلاق، پیامبر رحمت، پیامبر وحدت و پیامبر همه خصال بزرگ انسانی. هر کسی به این خصال انسانی دلبستگی دارد به پیامبر اسلام عشق می‌ورزد.
But those who don't know love, that's why it is. This is why when you look at the language Allah uses to describe Rasulullah, He is describing at such a high level and we fail to see that. Understand this. This is love. In another place where he says, وَلَصَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرَضَى, that Allah will give you so much that you will be pleased.
The ummah is burning. The ummah is bleeding. The ummah is giving their sacrifice. But where there is being an attack on our iman are through external sources and through internal sources as well. If that's a war on blood and weapons over there, there's a war on information and our intellect here.
ما مسلمان ها خیلی از هم دور شدیم. سیاست ها در این زمینه تلاش متاسفانه موفقی انجام دادند که مسلمان ها را از یکدیگر جدا کنند. امروز به وحدت احتیاج داریم.
وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا, and we have put you into tribes and nations. We have made you of different colors. For what purpose? لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that you may know each other, you may identify each other, you may understand each other.
Because now the reality is that as inclusive as the deen has always been, the deen of Islam has taken a very exclusive route today.
Understand and implement in yourself the concept of Tawheed, the idea of the name of Allah is the Most High, the idea of La ilaha illallah. If we can do this, if we can move on this direction, then be certain that inside your heart, this revolution will live.
So we never compromise on our value system, we never compromise on our principles, and we protect our religion the way Allah has revealed. That's like Imam al-Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi used to say, our Islam al-Islam al-Muhammadiyul asil, Islam nabe Muhammadi.
We are told that when it comes to the enemies of Islam, we're supposed to stand firm against their enmity. But when it comes to believers, no matter what the case is, we should display mercy.
And no matter what the enemies say, and the enemies will try, they have tried before, they will try again, and they will continue to try. And of course, we know that Shaitan has made a promise. I will misguide humanity. I will misguide Bani Adam until the end. This is his promise. So if we are expecting the enemy to let up, then we're fooling ourselves. If we make a dua, then the cancer occupying our beloved Palestine is removed.
Being in the Ummah of Rasulullah is a privilege, because when Prophet was there with his ashab, he said, Allahumma laqqini ikhwani. Oh my Lord, make me meet my brothers. And the ashab who were present, the companions who were present there, they said, Alasna ikhwanaka ya Rasulullah, are we not your brothers? And Prophet said, Antum ashabi. You are my companions. My brothers are those who will come in the akhir zaman. They will come in the final times.
إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. Tell them, Ya Rasulullah, if they claim to love me, if they claim to love Allah, follow the Holy Prophet. When you follow the Holy Prophet, you become beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Look at the greatness of this hadith. His Imam alayhi salam is drawing our attention to the secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the servants of Rasulullah, the true followers of the Holy Prophet, in other words, are mentioned to be mahbub in the eyes of Allah, where Allah says that yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu. So when the true followers and the true servants of the Holy Prophet are considered to be mahbub and beloved in the eyes of Allah, you can understand how much the Holy Prophet is mahbub.
His greatness is known. If you were not in that situation, if you ran away, if you were a coward, you would never know how great the Prophet was. You know, moments came in hard times, like in the Battle of Uhud. When you look at the Battle of Uhud, when the Kuffar came to fight the Muslims, and the Muslims started to run away. While they were running, the enemy that came there, the Kuffar that came there, they didn't want to go after the Muslims because that wasn't their target. Their target was Rasulullah. Their target was Rasulullah. So they said, the messenger is there. Let's go and get him.
We have no victory until we have finished Muhammad. He is up on those rocks.
We have finished our business. We have avenged Badr.
But we can end him and Islam forever.
Some of his fanatics are still with him. They have the advantage of the mountain. The risk is too high.
I must emphasize that now more than ever, we must come together in solidarity. We must stand in unity. We must support each other. We must find allies amongst each other. And we must speak together as people who are people of peace, people who seek harmonious societies, and as people who are voices of moderation.
So what we must do is, if we can understand La ilaha, the negation of all authority except Allah, and we let Allah have full authority on us, then believe me, my respected brothers and sisters, you will understand how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was able to bring a system that has given life to humanity at a time where humanity was virtually comatose.
Islam, the life that Islam has is through him. When you take him out, Islam is also dead. That's what you are seeing in the world right now, right? With these people who have taken Islam and left out the mailman. So when they left out the mailman, this is what you get. A dead Islam for dead hearts and dead people.
On tashayyu'i ke ertibat be MI6 انگلیس داشته باشد، اون تسننی که مزدور CIA آمریکا باشد، نه اون شیعه است نه اون سنی است، هر دو ضد اسلامند.
For if the voices of moderation do not speak, then we will have allowed the voices of extremism. And in every community, in every society, there are voices of extremism. We would have allowed those voices of extremism to drown out our voices.
This is the love of Rasulullah. It is that which cleanses us, purifies us, makes us better. This is what Rasulullah is. And when we learn Islam through him, this is what gives us life, my friends.
The Quran again reminds us that if you see diversity of religion and opinion and perspectives, it is because people have been blessed by God with a free will and they have been blessed by God with an intellect. لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْحَاجًا. For each and every one of you, we have made a law and we have made a path, a manhaj. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. If God had willed, he would have made you one nation with one religion. But then God hasn't done that. And God says, وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا آتَاكُمْ. Rather, God chooses to test you in what he has given you, in the free will that he has given you, and the intellect that he has given you. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Then all of you should race towards goodness. إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا. To God is your ultimate return. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. And God will inform you of those things in which you used to differ. Is to say that if God has not imposed a religion by force upon any human being in the life of this world, and he says that he will judge them on the day of judgment, then no human being should impose by force his views upon others. And when you accept that, then you must also embrace that there is going to be a diversity of opinion in human society.